Welcome to another episode of the Growth Focus Podcast, where we bring together tech leaders from all across the globe to share their time, their insights, and their expertise with us to help us grow our businesses. My name is Gary Lafter, your host and founder of the Growth Focus Partnerships, where we take leaders in their field, founders within the tech industry, and help them rise above all the noise so their conversations become clients and their expertise becomes pipeline. Now, this is an episode that I've been looking forward to for a very, very long time. It's actually taken me it's taken me weeks, if not months, to have this guest with us, to join with us and get her pinned down to a time. So before I introduce her, let me just tell you what we're going to be going through. We're going through, amongst other things, I think three main factors. The number one is that you don't actually need to have a tech background to build a very successful and sell a very successful tech company. Perhaps what's holding you back isn't the tech. Perhaps it isn't your customers or clients. Maybe it's a little bit closer to home, like your team, and we'll be discussing that. And we'll also be discussing what is probably the biggest growth levers that most CEOs in tech are actually missing today. And if they could just tap into that and just give a little bit more focus into that growth lever, they could see potential growths much, much higher than the ceiling that they're operating below at the moment. So without further ado, let's get into this particular episode. I'm really excited. And Isabel, it's an absolute pleasure and honor to finally have you on the show today. Why don't you start by just introducing a little bit about who you are and what is it that you actually do?
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much. Well, I look forward to be here today because, as you said, I am a very special profile in this industry. I don't come from a tech background, and I scale a company from just being in the US to now being in Asia, in Latam, and very well known in Europe. So I'm going to start showing you guys something very special. This is my wetsuit. This is where everything started back in 2016. When I came and I asked to JT Tech to be my sponsor. I used to be a professional freediver and I have been an athlete all my life. And this is how everything started with JT Tech. Now, 10 years after, I'm chief operating officer of the company. So everything is possible.
It is. It certainly is. And I just love success stories, you know, especially when they come from out of the blue, that there'll be people watching and people listening who have spent their entire career from school to college straight into tech. And then there's people like you as well who have not necessarily come from a tech background, but built successful businesses. So we're really going to dive into this. So you've built and obviously sold companies across many regions. What has been your most unexpected business lesson from launching in diverse areas, global markets like Africa, LATAM, and Asia?
Well, that's a very powerful question. I would start saying that my first thing what makes me to drive into tech and the reason why I wanted to do it was because I saw there a huge potential in terms of business, okay? Because I think technology is in everything. Everything what we do, every industry we touch requires technology, just like we're talking now.
Yeah. Okay. So those who are unfamiliar, Isabel, with what JT Tech does, and more importantly, what problem you solve for customers, could you give us a bit of insight into what is it that JT Tech does and who does it serve and what problem do you go out there and solve for them?
So we are a strategic technology consultancy. We design, we deliver smart infrastructure for all type of sectors like sports, entertainment, healthcare, education, and smart cities. But I think what we do is not the reason why I decided to do this podcast today. The reason why I decided to do this podcast is because the way I started 4 years ago was very unique. When I started, I came to the CEO, Brian Jacobson, and I was actually bankrupt after a company that I needed to close down. I was doing a startup of an app that was a logistics app, and all of the legislation changed in Europe and I needed to close it down the business after 3 years of working on this project. And I was really frustrated and I was like, okay, I know I love technology. Never I was on the business side, but I always was from a nerd and customer perspective. So I remember back in 2014 when I met the CEO of JT Tech in a tech conference, because I always was trying to network into people. For me, building relations have been everything in business. This is what opened us the doors to different markets till today and to different continents. So I remember back then I came and I asked him about the company and what he was doing. And he was telling me like, you're going to do great things. Like at that time I was like 20, 22, 23. And then after that, 2016, I remember that they were trying to invest a lot of money in terms of sponsorships for the stadiums and for the sports industry. So I decided to come and ask for a sponsorship as a freediver. And that is where my relation and my interest to JT Tech start to build up. But not to JT Tech only, it was to the industry, because it was an industry that was very driven by kind of like a monopoly. Everybody has their own relations. Most of the people that I met when I started 3 years ago was in the industry for 10, 20 years. So everybody know each other. Engineers and all of the type of techie people that I'm not used to be. But I've been an entrepreneur all my life. So I remember 4 years ago, I said to Brian, I think your company has so much potential. You really have a way to engage the customers, to deliver solutions in so a special way. And it was based only in the US. And I have been scaling companies myself as an entrepreneur in different countries. So I kind of have this way of just being very easy in entering to new countries. Move, the first time I left my home, I was 16 years old. Okay, so since I was 16 years old, I have been on my own. I remember that I said, I will not come to my parents and I will not ask them never again for any penny. And till today, I never did it, right? So I remember I came to Brian Jacobson and I asked him, can I work in your company? And he told me, well, but you've never been in this industry. Like, what are your expectations? And I was like, give me one chance. Let me close one deal. And if I close one deal, I mean. And he was like, okay, but... how are you expecting me to do that? And I told him, just, I'll do it myself. Harry, it took me a year and a half to close the first deal. And the craziest thing is it was in the UK, it was in the healthcare, and we was competing with a company that have 400 employees, 400 employees. And we win a very strong contract against a company that is a huge corporation in the industry. And the reason why we win this was because of the relation that I built for like a year and a half of going every time to the customer, engaging with the customer. And the most important thing, my perspective of an end customer, an end user, because technology is very complicated to explain. But the customers are very simple. They just wanted to know what you can do for me, how this can improve my business. And they will go with you.
No, you're absolutely right. It's one of those things where people tend to overcomplicate it, especially in tech. It's not about the product. It's not about the service. Ultimately, and we talk about this a lot on this show, it's about what is the outcome? What are they going to get out of it? Because that's all what they really care about. Does it make me money? Does it save me money? Does it keep me out of jail? Does it make me look better? It's one of those things that does it really help me? So I'm really glad that you brought that back up again, because it makes sense. But we all know that common sense isn't common practice, especially when it comes down to businesses. Now, I want to talk a little bit, Isabel, about founders who are trying to grow across different cultures. As you said, you found it relatively easy to cross borders, break into new markets. Where do you think most founders and CEOs are going wrong when they try to go into different cultures and different geographies about breaking into new ground?
Right. I think understanding that each country has his own culture, being able to adapt to that culture. And one of the main and most important things that I learned, and Tony Robbins talks so much about this, understand people's nature. This is so important, right? I guess that for me was very challenging, especially because many of the comments that I received when I started in this industry, oh my God, you remind me Gloria from Modern Family. And I was always like, wow, right? But I have done so much as an entrepreneur before I came to this point. And it's like I told you before, I was working with no paycheck for a year and a half before I closed a deal. It was like a 2.5 million pound deal. And I did all of this myself. And how? Well, I start mapping. I'm very strategic. I think a business without a strategy is not going to go nowhere. I always give this example of imagine the captain of a boat. And this captain, where is it going? How is he leading all of his team inside of the boat, of the ship? Where are they going? If the captain doesn't know to explain and communicate what the goals are, everybody is going everywhere and the boat is not going to even leave. This is, for me, very important. Internal communications with your teams are essential. This was one of the biggest challenges that JT Tech was facing, because everybody was just going to different ways. And when I came after a year and a half, when I proved myself, because I needed to prove myself, as I said to you, I have no degree in tech, but I know how to do business. I was mapping, very important, building a strategy. It took me like 8 to 9 months to build a strategy of how and where I was going to start with JD Tech, of understanding where were the countries where they were really interested and focused and invest in technology and in what we were doing. And then is where it starts the fun. Why? Because I remember that in the first event I map, so I did an entire calendar of events and I'm on my own. Imagine this. I have no onboardings. I have nothing. I have this since I born. I have been very commercial. So I remember back in high school, I used to sell all type of things, pens, makeup for the girls. They threw me out from two schools when I was in high school because I was selling things, you know, which is one of the things that I don't understand. I think we should to motivate kids to know how to do business, to be independent, to know how to provide for themselves, right? So I remember that I started to map the events. I found the first technology event. I went there. I had no friends. No even one. I remember when I left from this event, it was 1 month of follow-up calls with the amount of friends and people I did. And it was like a snowball effect. It was one contact after another contact. And people started to see me, recognize me. And this is one of the other advices that I will give to every CEO. You need to be seen. B2B is so essential. After the COVID, everybody's trying to do Zoom calls. Everybody is so digitalized, but it's so important when you can see in person somebody. It builds a different mindset.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, and we're still in an industry, although tech is trying to take over and there's a big heavy element in tech, nothing builds business more than relationships. And we're going to talk a little bit more about how do you get seen rather than being the best kept secret in the industry. We're going to talk a little bit about that a little bit later on. But what I'm really interested in, and this is where, for those guys of you who are watching now or listening now, this is going to be probably a big culture shock for you. Well, you mentioned that you changed almost 60% of your team and then brought in junior, hungrier talent. Number one, what sparked that shift? And then number two, what impact did that have on your growth and in the culture of the company?
Oh, yes. Okay. So I will tell you that I'm in this mindset of, I don't know if you saw the movie, The Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is one of the things that it's my way of being and my culture, but I feel that in the industry, when you take professionals that have been in the industry for 20 years, it's very difficult to change their mindset. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. Well, when you take juniors, they have the hunger and they are like sponge. They absorb and they learn very quick. I have juniors that entered last year in November. They are doing amazing things in different countries that we have already a lot of customers because they've been on calls with me because I love to do discovery calls. I love to train those people and those juniors. And I love that when they're going to leave from JD Tech, they're going to be like, you know, in this company in a year, I learned what I wouldn't learn in 5 years in another company. I want them to learn. And how? By action. It's the best way to learn. Only by practicing, you apply 80% of what you study and you put it in your subconscious and in your mind. It's the best way.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And what impact has that had on the company? Because that's quite a big change. You know, I totally understand, you know, when you bring in new blood, when you bring in new hunger, you bring in new motivations. And as you said, they're easier to absorb the new methodology, the way it's being done. But it's quite a big cut. So what impact has that had upon the company? Could you give us some kind of idea? Because there'd be people listening going, 60%, 50, even 6% is a big change. But that's a massive change. So no doubt it was for the positive. But give us some kind of idea of the results of that change.
Yeah, I think we opened in the last 6 months, we opened the company in 5 different countries in LATAM, 2 countries in Asia. We get in 80% of results in new accounts, new customers. So our revenue streams are more into new customers than regular base customers as it was before. We were kind of like living from the customers that will renew, that will require needs. But new customers, we have only like a 10, 15% of new customers per year. And that wasn't enough. And that was before because we didn't have really a heads of sales or sales reps that will just show our company out there. So that was very important for us. Sales are very important for companies. The ones that open the doors to new opportunities, to new strategic partnerships. And doing partnerships has been essential in our company, because there were countries where maybe a customer will come and said, oh, I'm interested in what you're doing at JT Tech, but we don't have a company in that specific country. For example, it happens very often now lately, because we are getting a lot of customers through referrals after what we have been doing in the past 3 years. But another company would say, okay, no, we are at the moment not based in this region. We can't do that. You can close and you cannot say no to a customer. Find new ways to do it. So we did build strategic partnerships in a strategy that I work 3 years, that is the strategy 360. So we have a bit of like an old school way of doing sales with modern ways to doing sales. So we summarize in-person meetings, in-person visits, and we try to be very present, but we are very intense, sometimes way too much, but it's giving results. And that's what at the end of the day matters for the company. But what we're doing now is we're building strategic partnerships. We have partners that are very strong in a specific country. We have the experience to deploy. We will do a strategic partnership and we will deliver to this customer. And we will not lose that deal.
No, are they just listening to the direction and the passion and following a specific strategy that you had? And a lot of what you said there was about merging old school tactics of sales tactics and strategies compared with the new ones as well. That focusing on in-person meetings and making sure you can look someone in the eye, shake them in the hand, and actually build that really, really strong relationship with them. The other thing that you quite mentioned, which I want to go back to, is that you said, you know, the culture is really important. You said culture and mindset are absolutely critical to growth when we were speaking before. What mindset shifts have been the most important for you in success in tech, especially in tech, as you haven't come from a non-tech background?
I think one of the things that made me take the first step was that I never thought of what people will think about me. One of the things that I see, and it's very sad, because if you think that when we die, everybody was worry of what the others will think about them, and you were worried about people will think about you, and this will stop you to do things. This will stop you to make the first step. It is not going to be perfect. It's never going to be perfect. You cannot look for perfection. But if I wouldn't have done this step, after a year and a half, I wouldn't have this big customer that is a very good customer so far in the UK, right? One of the books that I recommend every CEO to read is The Third Door by Alex Banayan. I don't know if you hear about it.
Yep.
So it's lovely because he explained this very simple. He explained the main entrance, which is where everybody goes, the VIP line, which is where the famous and the people with contacts will go, and the third door is what you will try to do. And he explained it as a discotheque. Imagine like that will be a discotheque. So you have the general entrance, you have the VIP door, and you have a third door. What is the third door doing? What means is, if I cannot enter through the VIP, if I cannot enter to the general, find another way. I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to see if there is a back entrance. I'm going to try to find who else is entering, and I'm going to come and ask, hey, can I come in? So find new ways. Do it different. Don't do it like others are doing it. It's not working. It's not making a difference anymore.
No, you're absolutely right. And this brings us nicely onto the next thing. Tech founders and tech leaders are not known to be at the forefront. They don't like being in the limelight. How important is it, in your opinion, for CEOs and leaders to be visible, especially in tech markets, which moves so quickly?
Between their teams and companies is so essential. We inspire others to do what we did first.
And let's explain about that. Can you dive a little bit deeper into what you mean by that?
Absolutely. I am leading by example. Mm. I always did since I was very young. When we make input to do things, there is a huge change in our internal teams of how they operate, of how they vibe. You need to have a communication with your team, but you need to also be understandable and teach them how to do it. You want to lead a team, you have to do it yourself first. That is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's talk externally now. What's your take and insights on personal branding for leaders and CEOs? You know, you've got tech people generally tend to, in the nicest way, tend to hide behind the product, hide behind the service and that what they're providing. They're not known for standing in the limelight and saying, hey, this is what we do. This is my mission. What is your belief about personal branding and executive image within the tech space?
It's the most important role in a company. And it's very important for customers to see that it's not a company what is behind, it's a person. I always think this way. When I met somebody, I want that when I leave, that person is going to be better than it was before I came. Mm. And this is what we should do with everybody we work. How can I make you better? How can you, in your time with me, in your time in my company, or in the time that I will be working with your company, if you're a customer, what can I do for you? And that's what we need. We need to be more human. And this is one of the things that I faced when I started to work in tech. There were deals and there were customers that I was working for like 2-3 years, and rejection is one of the most difficult challenges that I faced, but I have been very resilient. For me, a no never was a no. For me, a no was why. And I was always trying to understand. There was a reason why this didn't happen. I will come back to the customers and I will ask why you decide to move forward with another vendor and not with us. Because I wanted to improve that. And I want to make sure that this won't happen again. I make one mistake, but I don't do it twice. Always identifying what was the mistake. Fix it. Speak internally with your team. Clarify this. Change it and move forward. And don't stay thinking about it, right?
Forever evolving. Learning from mistakes. Fall fast. Get back up. Learn from it. And go again. Okay, doing absolutely very, very important from there. So let's shift a little bit, Isabel. Let's talk about marketing, because every company needs to have leads. Before you can have customers, before you can learn from your customers and have sales from your customers, you need people to talk to. What's currently working best for you when it comes to lead generation for JT Tech and closing more deals within your industry?
We have more commercials and we are very active in LinkedIn and very active in our B2B approach. So the first way to engage will be through marketing campaigns. Marketing campaigns are very important. I used to have a marketing company 5 years ago and we were doing very good by the funnels that we were using. I apply this to JT Tech and we get in a lot of leads sometimes in countries that we are not even existing. That's where I'm telling you that sometimes it makes me to build new strategies because we realize that we grow too fast in a very short time, right? So I think in tech, LinkedIn is a very strong platform. We need to be more active and we need to be more present in showing what we do as a company, showing the culture behind the company. There is a lot of technology bars. What is this company doing unique? One of the things that we're doing different since we started in the stadiums industry, in the sports industry, is that there has been many technology bars trying to sell Wi-Fi to stadiums. But after you sell Wi-Fi, what are you doing with this? Stadiums want sponsorships and investors. If you don't get this for them, they're not interested in your product. And that was another way of approach that I have to customers and stadiums and clubs, because I came to them and I told them, I have this solution, but I want to be behind your commercial team and I want to understand what are they doing with these tools. And I realized that many of the technology solutions that they were applying weren't used by the marketing teams. They didn't know how to use a captive portal. And that is a big issue because you're selling a solution to a stadium, but then your teams, your marketing and commercial teams don't know how to use the technology. So you need to also be after you deliver a solution with your customer and make sure that you teach them how to use that technology.
No, that's absolutely correct. That we hear this so often, that the deal isn't done just because you've sold them in, you've just sold it into that company. By doing education marketing, educational utility, onboarding, showing them how to use it, showing them how to be better at what they do with your product or services helps you grow from that. And that's such an important part, you know, so I'm so glad you brought that up. Let's go back to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is very important. You know, some people would say LinkedIn is just over-commercialized nowadays, but more and more people, when they get it right, find LinkedIn to be a very powerful tool to start relationships, build relationships, lead generation. What kind of stuff are you doing on LinkedIn that's really working well for you?
Educational campaigns.
Say that again, sorry.
So we're doing a lot of education. Mm-hmm. We teach what are the biggest trends. We do a lot of webinars. That's very successful as well, because we're teaching them what is the new trends in technology, use cases, how to use that technology. And as well, as I said, every member at JT Tech now has to be very active in LinkedIn, because when you jump into a company and you see that there is not updated data of what they're doing, then it's like you don't exist. Mm. You have to be really present, like even daily. It has to be very important. And this is what helps us a lot. LinkedIn is a huge tool for us. for our marketing campaigns.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. People, those where I've seen success with LinkedIn is, as you said, they are posting regularly. It's not a case of just commenting, it's being posted. Because people do look at LinkedIn almost like a web page now. They check you out on LinkedIn first. I mean, I literally got an email today from someone who goes, "Hey, Gary, I looked at you on LinkedIn first," before they replied back to an email. So it's a great way. If you, like you said, if you're not constantly educating people, you don't exist. You don't exist on that. So let's talk about the future. What are the biggest business growth goals that JG Tech and you have over the course of the next 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, I think that in me, and I would say that it's not really JT Tech, but it's what and the person that I became in this journey of working at JT Tech that transformed me and transformed the way I see business. I was very scared in first instance. It's not that I wasn't afraid. I was very scared of an industry that I thought was more difficult than now I see. Like I told you before, there is people that is in this industry that I met 4 years ago that is still doing the same job, still doing the same things. When I met them, I was like, wow, now I see them. And like, you guys not moving forward, you guys not evolving. And I came in a point in my life where I think JT Tech is rolling along. Like I see it. We have now fantastic teams. We have a great strategy. Everything is documented. Everything is just running. So let's say that I'm not essential anymore. And this is one of the things that we need to think as the CEOs need to think. Everybody should to be replaceable in a company. Nobody should be essential. This is one of the main, like, main key points that I wanted to leave here. You need to make sure that when somebody leaves your company going to still understanding what needs to be done.
Yeah, that's so important. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that. If somebody leaves your company, things can still get done. No one should be irreplaceable. But more importantly, there'll be people listening here who have ideas and aspirations of selling their company. And, you know, as an exit founder, we're going to tell you with this is that if somebody is absolutely essential to that company is going to have challenges. You need to have SOPs in place that people can just pick up, follow, and, you know, that it's easier for them to absorb into their company. So that's a really, really good point there, Isabel. I'm glad you really mentioned that. So, listen, if you had to leave tech founders, those who are listening here today, if you had to leave founders or CEOs or leaders with one piece of advice to unlock, and that's a key word I want to hear, unlock better growth, what would that piece of advice be, Isabel?
Use the third door. Do things different. Don't be afraid of bringing juniors, of bringing people that is young and have the hunger to learn. They will learn very fast and understand the personalities and their people expectations. What they want, what they look for in business. When I do an interview, I ask more what people is looking for to achieve. And I will see what drives them more than the degree they have. I hire people that has been in tech 20 years, and I have been seeing juniors that have delivered more results and had only 1 year of experience in the industry. But I guide them and I train them to be who they are today. So you need to involve yourself more. You need to be more present. You need to understand your company very deeply. I am not into accounting, but I like to understand numbers very good. You need to dive yourself into everything what the company is related to. The commercials, the head of commercials, the head of sales, the solution architects, all of these people, you need to be very well communicated with them. So I think in my WhatsApp, I have like 20 WhatsApp groups and I'm very responsive. This is one of the things that I'm very responsive. I always say to all of the team, don't see me like I'm impossible to reach. Because I'm the chief of everything. No, I am here for you. If you need or if you want an advice from my side, just ring me. I will be here to support you. And that changed their mindset. That's like, wow, you know, Isabel is here. If you need anything, she's going to definitely support us. If we are on a call and a customer is really not understanding what we want, I will jump on a call and support them. I love that.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So Isabel, if people want to get hold of you or potentially learn more about what you do or JT Tech does, what's the best way of getting hold of you?
I think LinkedIn.
Okay, well, I will make sure that your LinkedIn is in the show notes so they can just do one click and they can get through to you, because I'm pretty sure there's going to be people going, wow, yeah, there's passion there, there's leadership there. It's been great. So Isabel, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on board. Time has got hold of us again, unfortunately. We could keep on going and going and going with you sharing your insights. But thank you very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you to everybody. And I hope this will help a lot of women or people that wanted to be in tech to don't be afraid, to don't look for perfection, to just try new ways to do business.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure it will. Thank you again, Isabel. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for yet another episode of the Growth Focus podcast. And by now, you know what I'm going to say. Please make sure that you share this episode, or even if you picked up something that Isabel has said that you thought, that's really important, that I could use that, make sure you like it and comment below so that people can see what you're picking up from Isabel. But more importantly, share the episode, share other episodes so that other people can grow as well. So until the next episode, keep striving, keep being profitable, and we shall see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.